All right, John, you never know the questions ahead of time for Dear John, but I like to give you a little teaser.
You and the audience. Give me some topics.
Yeah. Some of them that we will have today at 8:35. Neighbors sent us an invoice.
Oh.
Am I being catty?
Oh, well, that one's got a... Is that one personal to you?
Believe it or not, no.
Oh.
Should I tell my boss or not?
Oh.
And help with hobbies.
Help with hobbies. Like hobbies.
It's all coming up at 8:35 this morning, Dear
John. All right. I'm excited about these. That sounds like a nice little four-topic teaser there.
College sports rivalries. Dying, dead, you tell me. Texas A&M baseball. Stay with me, guys. I know it's college baseball. Texas A&M baseball coach competing for a national title leaves to take the job at Texas.
24 hours after the press conference where he was a little belligerent in the question that he was asked about going from Texas A&M to somewhere else. I don't even know if it was, they had talked about Texas, but he was, I'll tell you what.
We have the audio, yeah.
Let's hear from Texas A&M coach, and I'm going to try not to brutalize his name, but it's Jim Schlossnagel.
I think you nailed it. So are you taking the Texas job or not? And he did. So I don't know how selfish a question it was.
The follow-up, I don't know if you heard the follow-up.
He apologized. Yeah.
Well, no. The follow-up question was, do you think you're doing a good job?
You're a jerk.
That's what we ask baseball coaches, right? So
the crazy question, the selfish question.
The back on topic is, are rivalries dead? Because this is Texas A&M, and just take out the fact that it's college baseball. I know there's not a lot of college baseball viewership, but this was the College World Series. In 3 years, he had taken Texas A&M to the pinnacle, didn't finish the job, and then jumps ship not 24 hours later. And you heard his response 30 minutes after the game. And goes to Texas A&M's number one rival, in-state rival, the Texas Longhorns.
This would be, to make it, maybe an equivalent for us, Jonathan Smith builds up Michigan State over 3 years, makes the college football playoff, wins not one but two college football playoff games, makes a deep run. There are rumors, hey, Sherrone Moore hasn't got it done. There's a vacancy in Ann Arbor. And he says, that's a selfish question. I'd never do that. Only to then take the job at Michigan in state with your biggest rival. That's what just happened in college baseball. That feels unheard of.
There's been so many things that have been eroding away in college sports. And the fact, but there's one that's that can be preserved. It's rivalries. And the fact that Texas is now going to be in the SEC. They will be conference partners again with Texas A&M because it hasn't happened in a while. And now all of a sudden, you have a coach that goes from one to the other after just 3 years, taking them to the pinnacle, and then jumps ship to go to your number one rival. Is this fair or foul? Is this just where we are in college sports where it doesn't matter anymore? And I've seen assistant coaches do this.
Yeah.
Have no problem with the assistant coaches. Am I out of line by thinking that a head coach can't make this jump? Or is this something that is just, we're just going to have to see and view and have happen. What if Urban Meyer had come? Because that rumor was out there.
Yeah.
There were people on the station that wanted Urban Meyer to come to Ann Arbor. I didn't want any part of that. I think there's a line that you can't cross as a head coach.
I think what we're learning, and maybe it wasn't always this way, is that fans care about these rivalries way more than the coaches and players do. And I'm not saying it was always that way, John. I'm not saying that that's how it was when you played. But doesn't that feel more accurate to today? Where the coach is going, I want the best job. The player wants the best opportunity. What used to be taboo, the idea that you transfer from a Michigan to an Ohio State or an Ohio State to a Michigan, the idea that a Spartan would go be a Wolverine, that a coach would go from one to the next. We've seen that. Now, this is unique in that it's a head coach. It's unique in that it's two programs that do very well financially. I would imagine
the dollar money amount's got to be just about the same.
Right. So maybe there's more resources in Austin than there is in College Station. But they're in the
College World Series.
They're at the pinnacle of the sport. Why reset? They got all that oil money at A&M. I haven't seen the terms of these college baseball contracts, but this feels significant.
And we know that Texas A&M is on the forefront of NIL.
Yeah.
So it can't be, or at least I wouldn't think it would be, we're going to lose a bunch of players because we can't find NIL money to pay them. Now all of a sudden it is a coach that is, it's going from one program to another in-state. It's their biggest rival. And now he is going to, and the fact that he said after the game, 30 minutes after the game, it's a selfish question to ask that I would be leaving. If the rumors are out there and you are having these discussions with your number one rival while you are in the College World Series, because this isn't something that gets done just in 24 hours.
Yeah, I had a huge issue with, and he apologized afterwards, but a huge issue with how he conducted himself. The Texas A&M coach, how did you pronounce his name again for me?
Schlossnagel.
It's one thing if you don't like the question. You're not always going to be asked questions that you like. You might think it's not the right time, but you don't get to make that determination either. You have to answer it in the best way possible. He answered it by calling the question selfish. It is a question I'm sure fans wanted to know in that region. I don't know how selfish the question is. And then he put up a big stink about the fact that he would ever leave. I took this job knowing I'd never leave, and I still feel that way today. You're a liar. It's one thing to dance around it and say, hey, this isn't the time or the place. He lied.
Yeah.
And he apologized for it later, but I don't know, that rubbed me the wrong way. And I think it probably bothered a lot of people that he left for their biggest rival. I don't know how that would go down here, but we can ask people. 248-539-9797. Coach leaves Michigan to go to Michigan State, or Michigan State to go to Michigan.
Or Michigan to Ohio State.
Yeah, pick your big rival.
And we're not just talking about an assistant coach, because
head coach.
I've seen assistant coaches go from being an assistant coach at Michigan to being an assistant coach at Ohio State. Or go from Michigan to Notre Dame. And when I was a player, I originally, not understanding life, that I was offended. Later on, I was not as offended, because there are bigger contracts to be had. There's more opportunities. But as a head coach, and it's like, and now they're not rivals, but how about Brian Kelly going from Notre Dame to LSU?
Or Lincoln Riley going Oklahoma to USC. We've seen some big moves in college sports, but those aren't rivals. That's what
they're
makes
not
this
rivals, but it has so much of the college experience, the college game, college athletics, has so much of it eroded away that we are now sitting here going, well, yeah, a head coach can go from Michigan to Michigan State, or vice versa, or Ohio State to Michigan, and we just kind of like, I don't care. Like, is that where we are? Has it eroded so much that the give a care factor is so low?
I do think it cheapens some of the rivalry when this happens, right? Because if you're a coach, we've seen these programs, they put up countdown clocks, and it's all about beating those guys, the team up north, but if you're going to do that and own that and use it as a motivator, and then at the end of the day, you're just like, I don't know. I'd leave if it was a better job. I'd leave if it was that job. I have no issue with you doing what's right for your family, but it does cheapen the rivalry. We can acknowledge that.
Players are going in between rivals.
Yep.
And they're able to do that. And it's their right. It's the coach's right to do it as well. But it's just a matter of, should you? Should you?
Well, you should do what's right for you. You should.
So then that should be a hard stop, period.
Yeah, the irony is, if anybody was selfish in this, it was the coach.
Right.
He took issue with the selfish question. It's a selfish decision, but it is the decision that's best for him, his family, or in the case of the players who have been doing this more recently with the portal.
Yeah, it actually could be good for the rivalry, because now there's even more animosity and dare we say hate.
A little bad blood.
Yeah, it, sports hate.
You mentioned assistant coaches. Greg Madison.
Yeah, he's the one I was talking about. He went from, right before the 97 season, he went from Michigan to Notre Dame.
Yes.
And, I didn't understand it at that time. I later talked to him, and he was like, well, here was the contract. Here was, and he didn't have to do that. I mean, he was one of the coaches that recruited me, so I felt a little bit more offended. But when I sat down and I thought about, you know what, he's got a family to provide for. This was a better opportunity for his career. He wasn't a Michigan football player, so it wasn't like Jim Harbaugh going to coach at Ohio State. And so I was like, okay, I get it. And then he actually came back to Michigan and then left for Ohio State. And again,
he crossed the line.
But as an assistant coach, I'm okay with that because they gave him more years and they gave him more money.
I don't mean like cross like the moral line. I mean like, you know, the state line. And there's an example going the other way. Michigan hired a running back coach from Ohio State, right?
Yeah. I mean, Al Washington was a linebacker coach who was in Ann Arbor, went to Ohio State. And so as assistant coaches, Bo Schembechler was an assistant coach for Woody Hayes and came up.
But we're, okay, let me just refocus this. We understand an assistant taking a promotion.
Yes.
We're talking about the leader of a program, the CEO of Texas A&M going to Texas, or a hypothetical CEO of MSU going to Michigan or vice versa.
The lead voice of this is why, you know, sitting at Texas A&M, this is why we don't like the Longhorns. This is why I can't stand the Longhorns. You build up that rivalry. You do that in college football. You do that in college sports because it generates emotion. It generates excitement. It generates passion for your players, your fan base. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. No, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to try and create that same animosity for now Texas.
Yeah. So the way I'd answer it is I don't think it's a,
how can you take him serious?
I don't think it's a bad thing that he did it, but I do think it cheapens rivalries. And I do think it's this again, more consequences in college football, the death or dying of rivalries. Want to hear from you guys next, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random person that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Good ticket text coming in on the death of rivalries in college sports. We've got Dear John at 8:35. And I think I figured out Steve Yzerman.
All right. We got the answers.
I think so.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. If it's what I think it is, it would be very exciting for Red Wing fans. We'll get to it at the end of the hour. All right. Ticket texter says, I grew up in Houston. I played for the same high school as Sam McGuffey. You guys don't realize how big Texas versus Texas A&M used to be every year. I'm glad it's back on the table. This would be like Harbaugh going to Ohio State next season. So weird, Hans the Uber driver.
You know what? I mean, it's that's what it feels like it would be. And I guess the question that it boils down to, with so much eroding away from college athletics and college rivalries now, if... like, I'm always going to be a Michigan fan. It's where I went to school. Even if I hadn't played there, it's where my allegiance is. But if you don't have that with your school and you're just a fan of Michigan State, of Michigan.
So if you're like Walmart, right?
Yeah. If you're just a fan, are you starting to question your loyalty?
Well, because the players, as this texter points it out, have been doing it for years. Coaches have been doing it for years. John, your question would be, are fans, who aren't as entrenched as alums?
Well, players are doing it more now in the last, what, 5-6 years because of the transfer portal. And
yes,
now you put on top of that NIL. So it's like free agency. When free agency came into football, were you a fan of a team, or now are you just a fan of a player? Were you a fan of Deion Sanders when he was in Dallas as well as San Francisco, when he was with Washington? Like, you're just a fan of the player the team.
We've seen it in the NBA. LeBron fans who were fans when he was in Cleveland, Miami, back to Cleveland, back to Los Angeles. They don't follow the teams after he leaves. They follow him. I think that's an extreme shift for college, but is it starting?
Yeah, is that where we're going?
Because it does feel like rosters don't stay intact.
There's no consistency.
There's no consistency. You're not building on previous seasons in a lot of cases. It's a good question. Texter says fans care more about rivalries than the athletes and coaches do. The coaches leave often. The portal is insane. Rivalries are not the same when it's completely different teams every year. Ticket Texter says, John, you're not out of line. The head coach is supposed to embody the whole program. To leave for your biggest rival, it makes you think that person was fake, that they weren't genuine. 3 weeks ago, they were talking about needing to beat that school over there more than anything.
Yeah.
And then they're coaching.
School over there.
Why we're talking about this, people who just got in the car, just woke up. Texas A&M baseball coach. This is not a college baseball topic, but Texas A&M baseball coach left to take the job at Texas.
24 hours after competing for the College World Series.
Right. Texter says the history for Texas in college baseball is almost second to none. I don't blame him for leaving one bit. It's an upgrade. Another person says that too. It's a promotion. It's like going from Michigan State to Michigan.
You said it.
Says it's not like going from Michigan to Ohio State, which would be a lateral move like a Texas to an Oklahoma.
I mean, when you have a coach that leaves for another school that's not a rivalry, because we had it, and some friends text me, hey, Eric Backich was a coach at Michigan. Clemson. He left to go to Clemson. I don't see it as the same because programs are different. It's baseball in the South versus, you know, being in the North, and he had this whole new, you know, schedule of baseball, all that stuff, but it's, I don't see it as the same because it's not, he didn't go to Columbus. He didn't go to East Lansing.
I'm all about player movement and doing what's best for you. So I guess I can't be a hypocrite and be mad. Coaches have been doing this a long time. I will agree with you. This cheapens rivalries. Yeah. This hurts the fabric of college sports, which are built on the rivalries, the tradition, and the pageantry, much of which is being fragmented already. So this is just the latest and greatest example. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, a Michigan mom has been sentenced to 2 years of probation after her five-year-old son was found frozen to death in a park. Oh. You might remember the story. Yeah. So it's alleged back on January 22nd of 2023, this mom put her five-year-old son to bed and then she left the apartment. While she was gone during that time, this little boy
wandered outside.
He was later found in a nearby park, was taken to the hospital, but obviously passed away. This mom pleaded no contest to involuntary manslaughter, and she did face up to 15 years in prison, but was sentenced to that 2 years probation. It doesn't seem fitting.
No.
It just doesn't seem to correlate, but that's what happened. Solar fields are going to be coming up in three Detroit neighborhoods. So on Monday, Mayor Mike Duggan announced three neighborhoods will see the first round of installation of these solar arrays that will generate half of the clean energy needed to power the city's 127 buildings. It's kind of cool. So there were a total of 21 homeowners in these three neighborhoods that were bought out. So they took like double what their home was valued
at. Good for them.
And their homes will be demolished because they're going to build these solar arrays or whatever they're called. If you were renting in that area, renters did receive a cost for relocating and they're going to get 18 months of free rent wherever they do move to as well.
That's not bad.
So their hope is to break ground by the end of next year. Obviously, this will reduce energy bills as well for those in the community and around. And then that will also pay for some of the home repairs needed for certain homes right there near this solar field. And then there'll be more phases. I think there's five more neighborhoods that will be in like phase two and three.
It sounds like if all goes as planned, like this is going to be a net positive for the city, not only the budget, but also for the residents.
Yeah. Kind of cool. This story, I love this story. There's a delivery driver in Arizona that actually got his wedding paid for by complete strangers after he left just a really simple note with a Chipotle order. So this driver and his wife say they've been delivering with Uber Eats for about 18 months because they want to save up extra money for their big day, for their wedding. But then suddenly their financial situation changed after the husband, or soon-to-be husband, delivered some food to a woman named Erica Hernandez. And Hernandez says she was just picturing a bag with the food in it, but there was a little note attached to the bag, and it simply said something like this: "Thank you for your order. I'm driving on the side to give my fiance the wedding she deserves." Just a little simple thank you. This is why I'm doing this. Well, she was compelled to not only donate to the wedding, but post a picture of the note online on TikTok, went viral, and tons of people have been contacting them, donating to their wedding. They said, you know what? The wedding is now completely paid for. They're going to take a break from delivering food and just spend some time together. And they're also donating some of that money back to the woman who posted the note originally. And they invited her to the wedding, which she accepted.
Oh, that's cool. That's a cool story.
Kind of just
the power of the internet.
I know. Yeah. And just little simple acts of kindness go a long way.
I don't even know if I would look for a note or even read one if they left it. I mean, it's just going to eat.
I wonder if it was helping just, you know, small stuff, like little extra tip here, extra tip there.
Right. I don't think anyone was probably donating like massive amounts of money to this man, but just like, that was nice. Here's some money. And he said this was never his intent. He just was simply writing a little thank you note. He was not asking for the money, did not want to go viral, but
so
but
thank you notes are still a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Handwritten thank you notes. Affordable steakhouses. Yeah. Oh, they're booming right now. Steakhouses like Texas Roadhouse, Longhorn Steakhouse, because Americans are trimming back on their spending. And these are really affordable locations. So people are still going out to eat. They still want to go and have like date nights.
Well, or nights they don't want to do the dishes. Or make
Or cook. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And these places are booming. Let's see. In the quarter ending on March 26th, sales at Texas Roadhouse jumped 8.4% compared to the year before.
Wow.
And then in the 3 months through May 26th, sales at Longhorn Steakhouse rose 4%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get a great steak there. And it's almost, it's gotten to the point too, where if you go to your local market or the butcher, and you get a steak, it's almost more expensive. It used to be cheaper to be able to cook your own stuff, and now it's not always that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go buy...
You don't necessarily get it the way you want it, but...
No, I know. But you're a big ribeye guy.
Yeah.
Ribeye steak, $15 a pound, $16. If you get the nice ones, closer to 20.
Yeah, $20 a pound.
Right.
Yeah.
So at that point, you're like, well, I mean, if someone else is going to cook it and prepare it and clean up after it...
And you get your sides as well.
Yeah.
Loaded potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Heather with the news. We got Dear John coming up next. I think I figured out Steve Yzerman's next big move. And yeah, the Pistons made a pick. We will be talking about Ron Holland. All coming up in the next hour. It's 97.1. I look forward to this every week. Let's just get into it. Dear John. You laugh every time.
I do.
For people who are new here, we get advice from John Jansen, the moral compass of the show. If you have questions, DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. That's DearJohnJansen@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
You would say spelled the right way?
Spelled my way. So, yeah, right way.
Okay. Our first question. Neighbors sent us an invoice.
Oh, boy.
Dear John, when we first moved into our house, the neighbors introduced themselves and showed us around the yard. Half of a space is ours and half is theirs. They told us the previous owners of the house had a shared flower garden with them and they would split the cost and labor. We were nice about it, but made it clear we're not big gardeners. We wouldn't be doing this arrangement. We never mentioned it again outside of them calling us and they'd update us on the garden's progress. Then this winter, we got an invoice from them in our mailbox outlining half the cost. We went over and thanked them for their hard work, but let them know we didn't have the money or interest in keeping the garden on half of the yard. So we wouldn't charge them for using our space, but we wouldn't be paying for it. The conversation was awkward, but everything seemed fine. Then in the spring, they started texting us flowers, saying they would use our hose to make the water bill fair. My husband is on the verge of going off on them. I don't want bad blood with our neighbors. They're right next door. How do I handle this? What should I do?
Well, again, I would just go over and say, hey, we're not a part of this. Whatever arrangement you had with the previous owners does not carry over. The warranty does not transfer, and we don't want to be a part of it. If you want to continue, that's great. It's at your expense, but no, I'm not paying for half of it. It may be a shared flower garden, but there's a clear property line, and if you have a problem that I'm not paying for it, then stop at the property line.
That's the extreme solution where you demolition up to the property line and say, enough's enough.
But they don't even want to go that extreme. They don't mind that the flower garden is there. They're just saying, we don't want to pay for it. We don't want anything to do with it. You can take care of it, can stay on our property, but we just don't, we don't want to pay for it.
Here's the other flip side.
So it's a simple thing. Like John said, it should be simple. Like, hey, we don't want to do this, but they've already tried that and it hasn't worked.
You could invoice them. You're using my property.
Yeah, you could. And so invoices could go back and forth and you're just going to have this argument. Or how about this? Put up a fence.
There you go.
Right through
HOA
the middle of it.
HOA might say, no way.
Well, so
I put up a little fence.
It's interesting you would bring up the HOA because I've been at a previous home, lived in an area where there was no formal HOA, but the community would do things on the road and do different things. And when we bought the home, they told us there's no HOA. I thought, this is great. I don't want to live in an area where there's an HOA. And then we would get a bill every 12 months for stuff that they would do. And I thought, wait a second, no, I don't, I'm not participating in this. I don't want any of this. So I just sent a letter that said, I appreciate what you guys are doing. First of all, if I was a part of it, I would ask for something different, but I don't want this expense to be a part of my life.
I get the hesitancy in that these are your neighbors and you don't want to have issues with your neighbors. Like, I'm friendly with all the neighbors in our... But you do have to draw some lines, maybe some physical lines if necessary. And you may have to make some threats. Hey, we're not going to mess with the garden, but if you're going to start taking our water and trying to charge us for it, we are going to put up a fence or demolish the garden.
I mean, you could turn off the spigot so they don't have access to it.
I suppose.
It's just so extreme. They should just know that if you don't want to be part of it, you're not part of it.
Yeah. Right.
And they could just tend to half the garden. Like, how big is this garden?
It can't be that big.
No. Well, just plant a couple flowers. Call it a day.
If you don't want to, then plant something that's going to come up every year. Just put some ground cover in.
Do a bunch of hostas.
Yeah. Something that you don't have to maintain and it looks nice. So they can't say, well, it doesn't look nice and move on.
You're good. All right. This next one is called Am I Being Catty? Dear John.
I thought Jim was going to read this one.
Dear John, a while back, I posted a picture to my Instagram stories of my cat sitting next to my counter as I was cooking. On his own stool, he was watching. Again, he was next to the counter, not anywhere near the food. He doesn't go on the counters. He doesn't go near the food. Well, my friend Rose reposted it with her own caption, a puke face emoji, and you can't eat at anyone's house. That was her caption.
Yeah.
About a month ago, I hosted a small get-together to show off some of the cookware I obtained, because getting older is weird. I had a whole little shindig and home-prepared food. Lots of fun times between pals. I didn't invite Rose. She found out after folks posted to their Instagram stories and confronted me over it, saying that I was giving high school mean girl vibes. I told her that she has made it clear she doesn't want to eat at anyone's home of people who have cats. So why would I invite her to my house party? She got defensive and said that she could have just come over and not eaten anything. I said that in the future, maybe she should be more careful about what she says, because to me, it was very clear. Rose has continued to tell people I'm giving high school mean girl vibes, yada, 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 and all of that. Am I being the bleep hole for not inviting her?
No, Rose is the one that started the mean girl vibes.
That repost? Yeah, let's repost this.
Yeah, okay, that's a picture I put out there. If you're going to repost it and you're going to put a different caption there, you're going to make it mean something completely different. Especially if she's been in the house and she knows that the cat doesn't go on the counter, the cat doesn't touch the food, the cat is just there. How is it any different than a dog or any other animal that you'd have living in your house?
I do kind of understand her take. You never know what's going on at someone's house when you eat their food. I mean, they might have really dirty hands as they're,
preparing the food,
making a meatball. I don't know what they're making, but yes. I agree with you. I think that was silly for the repost.
Wait until Emily and Brooks are in school and they have a fair at school, a little fundraiser.
Uh-huh.
And all of the treats, the snacks are all provided and they're homemade. So then you're sitting there wondering, well, did mom or dad make this or did the kid make this? Because you don't want to be eating anything that a kid makes. Unless you're mom or dad, because technically... they're your boogers.
Right, yeah. I mean, we all have animals. You and I both have cats. I think cats shed more than dogs. My
depends
dogs don't shed.
Breed.
Yeah, it does depend on the breed.
Oh, our dog sheds all over
the place. It does.
Yeah, lab.
Oh, yeah, lab shed a lot.
Yeah, and then it shows up on everything.
But cats clean themselves. I mean, they're fairly clean animals.
So do dogs. And
yeah, I mean, dogs lick their own butt.
And so do cats.
Do you realize? So, yes.
Do you let your cat on the counter?
Not like where we're cooking, but the kitchen has...
I guess he has to go on the counter to get to the patio.
Now, but it's a very specific part of the counter, not where we'd be preparing food.
Oh, so the cat knows when you're away that it can only go on these counters.
So what you're implying is...
I don't know if I want cookies anymore.
So, but that's what I was going to ask. So Rose, in this response, still wouldn't have eaten even if she was invited.
Right.
Would you draw that line? You wouldn't eat food at a house where there was a cat present because you just don't know? They could have been on the counter at some point?
I wouldn't. I mean...
You wouldn't eat at someone's house who has a cat?
No. Oh, okay. I wouldn't go that route. If it depends on is the food good or not.
Right.
That's the determining factor. If it's not any good, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to sit there and say it's not good. I'm just not going to eat.
I would eat anything that looks appealing to me, whether there's an animal or anything. I don't care. I'd eat it.
What if you found a dog here and there?
Oh. I'm sure I probably have at some point. It's always awful. Like going to a potluck and then you find that long hair in like the pasta salad and you're like, oh my God. Whose hair was that? Aunt Sally's? I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, flossing your teeth.
Ugh.
Let's try to get these in. The next one. Tell my boss or not. Dear John, how would you handle this situation at work? I was assigned a project that was supposed to take until October, but in just 3 weeks' time, I completed all of it, and I want to know what to do. It wasn't done sloppy. I was efficient. Should I tell my boss and get brownie points, or chill and have a stress-free summer at work? I've seen other people get, quote, rewarded with more busy work. Why should I be punished for doing a good job?
Well, I mean, do you want to... be good at your job? Do you want to advance in your job? What are there opportunities for advancement? Maybe you're a low-level employee and you want to be mid-level to high-level. If you're done, tell your job, you're done, your boss, you're done. It's not brownie points. It's just, hey, I was able to do the job quicker and maybe even better than you expected.
I don't agree with you. I would.
No,
you're
just going to take the time off? You're going to sit there and make it look like you're busy?
I sure am. I'm going to have a stress-free summer. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because perhaps I did my job so well and so efficiently, I can still get that advancement just by the work I'd already done. Yeah. What would you do?
I think it depends on your workplace. And because they point out that other people have just been basically given menial tasks, I don't want to sign up for the menial tasks. Now, it depends on your workplace. If it's somewhere you are looking to advance, then I get your thought, John. But if this is just a, I don't want to call it a dead-end job, but maybe one with not a lot of upside, you just...
So have a conversation with your boss. If you can't have that communication of, hey, I want to advance, here's the work that I've done, I did it in 3 weeks versus 3 months, and now you're giving me this menial work, like, I don't know if this is a place I even want to work, if this is all I'm going to be doing.
Heather, you got one more?
Oh, yeah. Let's do one more. This is, trouble connecting. Do you feel that most people don't have any hobbies nowadays and it's too difficult to connect with them? That's where I'm at. I started talking to new people, but whenever I ask them about their hobbies or whatever they do in their free time, most of them reply scrolling on Instagram reels or sleeping. And then I'm not able to know what to talk to them about. Is this a societal issue? What are easy hobbies for people to pick up?
Well, there's a lot of easy hobbies to pick up. And my hobby is hunting and fishing. And I could talk about that with anyone for a long time. And if you don't have the same hobby, then, maybe you're not going to be that close anyway. So why force something with an individual that's boring? If you're just going to sit there and scroll on your phone, you're just not an interesting person to begin with.
I think people do get into that spot, though, and they need to get out more and do stuff, right?
Yes, yeah. Put your phone down, do something. Get out, and I don't know if it's...
It doesn't have to be hunting and fishing.
Right, no, it doesn't. I mean, it could be anything.
A lot of people golf,
sure.
We like sports.
There's a lot of different hobbies out there.
Woodworking?
Love that. Love it.
I don't know. What are some hobbies that people have? You get into like music, collecting things.
Yeah, best hobbies you could share. I mean, it's you could collect things, you could antique... There's a lot of different ways
cooking?
That you could go. Cooking,
sure.
Yes. Eating.
Eating.
I'm a connoisseur.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Where's the best bolognese?
And that is Dear John. John gives advice. DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you're going to need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your individual success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, have a conversation, get to know you, and they're going to build a financial plan along with you that fits your unique situation. And when you make that switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile bank.
I look forward to this every week. Let's just get into it. Dear John, you laugh every time.
I do.
For people who are new here, we get advice from John Jansen, the moral compass of the show. If you have questions, dearjohnjansen@gmail.com. That's dearjohnjansen@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
You would say spelled the right way?
Spelled my way. So yeah, right way.
Okay. Our first question. Neighbors sent us an invoice.
Oh boy.
Dear John, when we first moved into our house, the neighbors introduced themselves and showed us around the yard. Half of a space is ours and half is theirs. They told us the previous owners of the house had a shared flower garden with them and they would split the cost and labor. We were nice about it, but made it clear we're not big gardeners. We wouldn't be doing this arrangement. We never mentioned it again outside of them calling us, and they'd update us on the garden's progress. Then this winter, we got an invoice from them in our mailbox outlining half the cost. We went over and thanked them for their hard work, but let them know we didn't have the money or interest in keeping the garden on half of the yard, so we wouldn't charge them for using our space, but we wouldn't be paying for it. The conversation was awkward, but everything seemed fine. Then in the spring, they started texting us flowers, saying they would use our hose to make the water bill fair. My husband is on the verge of going off on him. I don't want bad blood with our neighbors. They're right next door. How do I handle this? What should I do?
Well, again, I would just go over and say, hey, we're not a part of this. Whatever arrangement you had with the previous owners does not carry over. The warranty does not transfer, and we don't want to be a part of it. If you want to continue, that's great. It's at your expense, but no, I'm not paying for half of it. It may be a shared flower garden, but there's a clear property line. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem that I'm not paying for it, then stop at the property line.
That's the extreme solution where you demolition up to the property line and say, enough's enough.
But they don't even want to go that extreme. They don't mind that the flower garden is there. They're just saying, we don't want to pay for it. We don't want anything to do with it. You can take care of it, can stay on our property, but we just don't. We don't want to pay for it.
Here's the other flip side.
So it's a simple thing. Like John said, it should be simple. Like, hey, we don't want to do this, but they've already tried that and it hasn't worked.
You could invoice them. You're using my property.
Yeah, you could. And so invoices could go back and forth and you're just going to have this argument. Or how about this? Put up a fence.
There you go.
Right through
HOA
the middle of it.
HOA might say, no way.
Well, so
I put up a little fence.
It's interesting you would bring up the HOA because I've been at a previous home, lived in an area where there was no formal HOA, but the community would do things on the road and do different things. And when we bought the home, they told us there's no HOA. I thought, this is great. I don't want to live in an area where there's an HOA. And then we would get a bill every 12 months for stuff that they would do. And I thought, wait a second, no, I don't. I'm not participating in this. I don't want any of this. So I just sent a letter that said, I appreciate what you guys are doing. First of all, if I was a part of it, I would ask for something different, but I don't want this expense to be a part of my life.
I get the hesitancy in that these are your neighbors and you don't want to have issues with your neighbors. Like, I'm friendly with all the neighbors in our, but you do have to draw some lines, maybe some physical lines if necessary. And you may have to make some threats. Hey, we're not going to mess with the garden, but if you're going to start taking our water and trying to charge us for it, we are going to put up a fence or demolish the garden.
I mean, you could turn off the spigot so they don't have access to it.
I suppose.
It's just so extreme. They should just know that if you don't want to be part of it, you're not part of it.
Yeah.
Right. And they could just tend to half the garden. Like, how big is this garden?
It can't be that big.
No. Well, yeah. Just plant a couple flowers. Call it a day.
If you don't want to, then plant something that's going to come up every year. Put some ground cover in.
Do a bunch of hostas.
Yeah. Something that you don't have to maintain and it looks nice, so they can't say, well, it doesn't look nice, and move on.
You're good. All right. This next one is called, Am I Being Catty? Dear John.
I thought Jim was going to read this one.
Dear John, a while back, I posted a picture to my Instagram stories of my cat sitting next to my counter as I was cooking. On his own stool, he was watching. Again, he was next to the counter, not anywhere near the food. He doesn't go on the counters. He doesn't go near the food. Well, my friend Rose reposted it with her own caption, a puke face emoji, and you can't eat at anyone's house. That was her caption.
Yeah.
About a month ago, I hosted a small get-together to show off some of the cookware I obtained, because getting older is weird. I had a whole little shindig and home-prepared food. Lots of fun times between pals. I didn't invite Rose. She found out after folks posted to their Instagram stories and confronted me over it, saying that I was giving high school mean girl vibes. I told her that she has made it clear she doesn't want to eat at anyone's home of people who have cats. So why would I invite her to my house party? She got defensive and said that she could have just come over and not eaten anything. I said that in the future, maybe she should be more careful about what she says, because to me, it was very clear. Rose has continued to tell people I'm giving high school mean girl vibes, yada, 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 and all of that. Am I being the bleep hole for not inviting her?
No, Rose is the one that started the mean girl vibes.
That repost? Yeah, let's repost this.
Yeah, okay, that's a picture I put out there. If you're going to repost it and you're going to put a different caption there, you're going to make it mean something completely different. Especially if she's been in the house and she knows that the cat doesn't go on the counter, the cat doesn't touch the food, the cat is just there. How is it any different than a dog or any other animal that you'd have living in your house?
I do kind of understand her take. You never know what's going on at someone's house when you eat their food. I mean, they might have really dirty hands as they're, you know,
preparing the food,
making a meatball. I don't know what they're making, but yes. I agree with you. I think that was silly for her to repost.
Until Emily and Brooks are in school and they have a fair at school, a little fundraiser.
Uh-huh.
And all of the treats, the snacks are all provided and they're homemade. So then you're sitting there wondering, well, did mom or dad make this or did the kid make this? Because you don't want to be eating anything that a kid makes. Unless you're mom or dad, because technically they're your boogers.
Yeah. I mean, we all have animals. You and I both have cats. I think cats shed more than dogs. My
depends
dogs don't shed.
Breed.
Yeah, it does depend on the breed.
Oh, our dog sheds all over
it
the
place. It does.
Yeah, lab.
Oh, yeah,
yellow
lab shed
lab.
A lot.
Yeah, and then it shows up on everything.
But cats clean themselves. I mean, they're fairly clean animals.
So do dogs. And
yeah, I mean, dogs lick their own butt.
And so do cats.
Do you realize, so yes,
do you let your cat on the counter?
Not like where we're cooking, but the kitchen has...
I guess he has to go on the counter to get to the patio.
The patio. Now, but it's a very specific part of the counter, not where we'd be preparing food.
Oh, so the cat knows when you're away that it can only go on these counters.
So what you're implying is...
I don't know if I want cookies anymore.
So, but that's what I was going to ask. So Rose, in this response, still wouldn't have eaten even if she was invited.
Right.
Would you draw that line? You wouldn't eat food at a house where there was a cat present because you just don't know? They could have been on the counter at some point?
I wouldn't. I mean...
You wouldn't eat at someone's house who has a cat?
No. Okay. I wouldn't go that route. If it depends on is the food good or not.
Right.
That's the determining factor. If it's not any good, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to sit there and say it's not good. I'm just not going to eat.
I would eat anything that looks appealing to me, whether there's an animal or anything. I don't care. I'd eat
it. What if you found a dog hair in there?
Oh. I'm sure I probably have at some point. It's always awful. Like going to a potluck and then you find that long hair in like the pasta salad and you're like, oh my God. Whose hair was that? Aunt Sally's? I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, flossing your teeth.
Ugh.
Let's try to get these in. The next one. Tell my boss or not. Dear John, how would you handle this situation at work? I was assigned a project that was supposed to take until October, but in just 3 weeks' time, I completed all of it, and I want to know what to do. It wasn't done sloppy. I was efficient. Should I tell my boss and get brownie points, or chill and have a stress-free summer at work? I've seen other people get, quote, rewarded with more busy work. Why should I be punished for doing a good job?
Well, I mean, do you want to be good at your job? Do you want to advance in your job? What are there opportunities for advancement? Maybe you're a low-level employee and you want to be mid-level to high-level. If you're done, tell your job, you're done, your boss, you're done. It's not brownie points. It's just, hey, I was able to do the job quicker and maybe even better than you expected.
I don't agree with you. I would.
No,
you're
just going to take the time off? You're going to sit there and make it look like you're busy?
I sure am. I'm going to have a stress-free summer. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because perhaps I did my job so well and so efficiently, I can still get that advancement just by the work I'd already done. Yeah. What would you do?
I think it depends on your workplace. And because they point out that other people have just been basically given menial tasks, I don't want to sign up for the menial tasks. Now, it depends on your workplace. If it's somewhere you are looking to advance, then I get your thought, John. But if this is just a, I don't want to call it a dead-end job, but maybe one with not a lot of upside, you just...
So have a conversation with your boss. If you can't have that communication of, hey, I want to advance. Here's the work that I've done. I did it in 3 weeks versus 3 months. And now you're giving me this menial work. Like, I don't know if this is a place I even want to work, if this is all I'm going to be doing.
Heather, you got one more?
Oh, yeah, let's do one more. This is, trouble connecting. Do you feel that most people don't have any hobbies nowadays and it's too difficult to connect with them? That's where I'm at. I started talking to new people, but whenever I ask them about their hobbies or whatever they do in their free time, most of them reply scrolling on Instagram reels or sleeping, and then I'm not able to know what to talk to them about. Is this a societal issue? What are easy hobbies for people to pick up?
Well, there's a lot of easy hobbies to pick up. And my hobby is hunting and fishing. And I could talk about that with anyone for a long time. And if you don't have the same hobby, then, maybe you're not going to be that close anyway. So why force something with an individual that's boring? If you're just going to sit there and scroll on your phone, you're just not an interesting person to begin with.
I think people do get into that spot, though, and they need to get out more and do stuff, right?
Yes, yeah. Put your phone down, do something. Get out, and I don't know if it's...
It doesn't have to be hunting and fishing.
Right, no, it doesn't. I mean, it could be anything.
A lot of people golf.
Sure.
We like sports.
There's a lot of different hobbies out there.
Woodworking.
Love that. Love it.
I don't know. What are some hobbies that people have? You get into like music, collecting things.
Yeah, best hobbies you could share. I mean, you could collect things, you could antique... There's a lot of different ways
cooking?
That you could go. Cooking,
sure.
Yes. Eating.
I'm a connoisseur.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Where's the best bolognese?
And that is Dear John. John gives advice. DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you're going to need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your individual success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, have a conversation, get to know you, and they're going to build a financial plan along with you that fits your unique situation. And when you make that switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's always interesting to me to see what's going to stand out to the listeners from Dear John.
Yeah.
You go through three or four different scenarios and get some advice, and which one resonates? Well, the two that really stuck out to people are cats on the counter,
mm-hmm.
and the question about work and what to do with it.
Yeah.
Ticket Texter says, is that a magic cat that doesn't go on the counter? Bah humbug. Every cat goes on the counter. Pete in Manistee.
Not my cat. Unfortunately, he lives in the basement. He doesn't go on the counter.
So he doesn't have the opportunity to go on the counter.
I've worked in restaurants. I completely trust people's home cooking, even with their cats on the counter, to be cleaner than some of the restaurants I've been in.
Oh, no. That's disturbing.
If you talk to people that work in restaurants, it's not always a great selling point.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. That's what I keep saying, too.
Just don't tell us. Texter says, I have two cats. Disgusting story. At work, we had a chili cook-off one time. One of the employees whose wife is an animal rescuer decided to bring in their crock pot. There was hair on the outside of the crock pot. There was more on the crock pot than there is on the floor of the house.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a But you could see that too. Like, wipe it off.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just going to say. Gross. Whether the cats are on the counters or not, you should be cleaning your counters. You should be cleaning your crock pot. You should be washing your dishes.
Maybe to her, that's that was normal. Not a lot of hair, and it was normal. Didn't even realize it.
That's cat lady.
Yeah.
Definitely a thing with cats. My girlfriend and others at her work don't eat food brought in from people with cats.
Really?
Mike in Oxford. I didn't realize that was a hard line that people had.
I've never experienced that myself. I have a lot of friends with cats anyway, save you, Jim and Heather.
That's good, Heather. Yeah. Ticket Texter says, John and the Scumbag Show. What did I say that was scummy in the last segment?
Maybe they were referring to me.
I really wasn't sure, but I just had to print that one for you.
Yeah.
John and the Scumbag.
Whatever you did, you're not a scumbag.
Well,
Marmy.
It's a fine line. Texter says, nice attitude. That's what's wrong with this generation. Pay me more to work less. The guy said, if I get my work done early, should I tell my boss or not?
Yeah, turn it in. Ask for more.
Nope.
Do more. What's wrong with working? Why does everybody always default to the bare minimum? Like, that's what drives me crazy.
Well,
that's a message that I send tell my kids all the time. Your teacher asks you to do this. Why do you have to do just the bare minimum? Don't just do something to get by.
The counter would be you're paid to do your job. And if you did your job, you did what you were paid to do. My answer was a little more nuanced. What kind of job is this? Is this just a dead-end job? Is this just a job to pay bills?
No chance for advancement?
Or is this a career? If it's a career, put in a little extra.
Yeah.
Try to move up. But it depends. Like a ticket texter said, John's never worked a normal job. It depends what you say a normal job is, right? But if it's a dead-end job, I get someone saying, I'm paid to get this project done. If I get it done today, next week, next month, that's the job. And if I'm given a deadline and I get done early, that's I get to reap the reward, right?
And the retort I would have to that particular ticket text is that I would not want to do more work to be paid the same.
Right. Is it coming with a promotion? In some cases, yes. In some cases, I'm not promoting you.
It's still okay to do more than asked.
At the end, it's work, John, right? Like you're being paid. You wouldn't be there if you weren't being paid to do it in many of these cases.
Yeah, and you're paid to do a good job.
And if you did a good job, you can rest on the work you've done, right?
And turn it in and then work on what's next.
Maybe this is where the scumbag's coming from. Heather, you were on the side, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, for sure. I agree with you. I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's just not what I would personally do.
Maybe Heather could take the extra time from not working to wash her damn feet. Dirty and lazy are not good qualities, Greg and Chelsea.
Well, I am anything but lazy. But yes, you know what? I have washed my feet. My feet, apparently to some, are dirty.
We've made a change in your life.
I have washed them, like really scrubbed them.
How'd the experience go?
You know, it was just fine. They got extremely dirty after a concert one night, and
I think of the conversation that we've had as you're washing your feet? Like, I'm going to have to tell.
I did. I thought unfortunately, I did think about you guys while I was washing my feet. I did.
Texter says, turn in the work in late August. You'd still get a stress-free summer, and you would be turning in the work early, so you would get the brownie points as well, Abe in Southfield. Getting some nods from behind the glass. Greg approves.
I mean, yeah. I don't know why you always got to look for an angle. Just turn in your job, turn in your work.
Texter says, it's because people are lazy. They only do what they have to do.
The bare minimum.
To the bare minimum, because people are losers. Costa is not a scumbag, but he's more of a degenerate.
Okay. I love it.
Funny that John has an issue with people doing the bare minimum. He does that every day. Oh, that's not fair.
Come on.
No, this guy brings it. Don't do that to John.
Come on.
Texter says, cats dig in a poop box and then walk on the counters. Yeah, no thanks. Not eating at your house. Gross. Todd in Sterling Heights.
Yeah. And that's true. Those are the things that people don't think about. It kind of goes back to the whole sitting on the toilet, you know, type thing, where you're going to get the germs somewhere else. Like cats, seriously, they do that and then they just walk around your house. They're trampling feces
too,
over
though.
Your house, and then you're stepping on those feces.
Well, dogs will sometimes take their butt and glide across your floor.
They're wiping
they
it.
Do
they're getting
all
a good
that
wipe.
Too. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean,
they'll eat their poop sometimes and then lick things.
Yeah, I had a previous dog that was looking for a hot meal all the time.
Uh-huh.
But we're living in these environments, and then you hear people freak out about touching a remote at a hotel, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, you realize the other things, your phone?
Oh, phones are disgusting.
They're gross. What's on these phones?
It's nasty.
So your cat walks on your couch and you set your phone on the couch and then you've got feces on your phone.
But nobody ever draws the line there, right?
Right. They don't think of the thing. They don't think it through.
Well, some people do. Ticket Texter, I don't know if this is a true story or not. Apparently, Rico has said many times on air he will not eat at a house with cats.
Wow.
Hmm. You going to take him off the invite list?
I said he was on the invite list.
Well, I mean, if Mike's over, he's going to have to come with him, right?
Oh, stop.
Who's going to carry his bag?
Oh, don't do that.
Sorry, Rico.
And the whole point of the topic in Dear John was the fact that's okay. Don't get mad when I don't invite you.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. If that's going to be your opinion.
If you're not going to eat the food, it's
that's fine.
Yeah, we're not going to eat.
Took a shot at me on social media, so
you're
not invited.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're off the invite list. No Christmas card for you.
Noted.
Sorry, holiday card.
Don't do this, John. The War on Christmas. Your thoughts. 248. No, we're going to talk hockey and basketball in the 9 o'clock hour because I think I figured out what Steve Yzerman's going to do. We've got some audio from some hockey insiders. Why is Yzerman clearing so much cap space? He already had a bunch. Why trade Walman? Why free up more? Tell you what that move is. Or I think it is. After the update, we'll get to the Pistons pick, what they did at 5, my fear, all of it in the 9 o'clock hour. It's 97.1. It's always interesting to me to see what's going to stand out to the listeners from Dear John.
Yeah.
You go through 3 or 4 different scenarios and get some advice, and which one resonates? Well, the two that really stuck out to people are cats on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And the question about work and what to do with it.
Yeah.
Ticket Texter says, is that a magic cat that doesn't go on the counter? Bah humbug. Every cat goes on the counter. Pete in Manistee.
Not my cat. Unfortunately, he lives in the basement. He doesn't go on the counter.
So he doesn't have the opportunity to go on the counter.
I've worked in restaurants. I completely trust people's home cooking, even with their cats on the counter, to be cleaner than some of the restaurants I've been in.
Oh, no. That's disturbing.
If you talk to people that work in restaurants, it's not always a great selling point.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Just give me
that's
food.
What I keep saying,
yeah.
too.
Just don't tell us. I don't know. Texter says, I have two cats. Disgusting story. At work, we had a chili cook-off one time. One of the employees whose wife is an animal rescuer decided to bring in their crock pot. There was hair on the outside of the crock pot. There was more on the crock pot than there is on the floor of the house.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a.
But that's
you could see that too. Like, wipe it off.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was just going to say. Crocs. Whether the cats are on the counters or not, you should be cleaning your counters. You should be cleaning your crock pot. You should be washing your dishes.
Maybe to her, that's that was normal. Not a lot of hair, and it was normal. Didn't even realize it.
That's cat lady.
Yeah.
Definitely a thing with cats. My girlfriend and others at her work don't eat food brought in from people with cats.
Really?
Mike in Oxford. I didn't realize that was a hard line that people had.
I've never experienced that myself. I've I have a lot of friends with cats anyway, save you, Jim, and Heather.
That's a Heather. Yeah. Ticket Texter says, John and the Scumbag Show. What did I say that was scummy in the last segment?
Maybe they were referring to me.
I really wasn't sure, but I just had to print that one for you.
Yeah.
John and the Scumbag.
Whatever you did, you're not a scumbag.
Well,
Marmy.
It's a fine line. Texter says, nice attitude. That's what's wrong with this generation. Pay me more to work less. The guy said, if I get my work done early, should I tell my boss or not?
Yeah, turn it in. Ask for more.
Nope.
Do more. What's wrong with working? Why does everybody always default to the bare minimum? Like, that's what drives me crazy.
Well,
that's a message that I send tell my kids all the time. Your teacher asks you to do this. Why do you have to do just the bare minimum? Don't just do something to get by.
The counter would be you're paid to do your job. And if you did your job, you did what you were paid to do. My answer was a little more nuanced. What kind of job is this? Is this just a dead-end job? Is this just a job to pay bills?
Is there no chance for advancement?
Or is this a career? If it's a career, put in a little extra.
Yeah.
Try to move up. But it depends. Like a ticket texter said, John's never worked a normal job. It depends what you say a normal job is, right? But if it's a dead-end job, I get someone saying, I'm paid to get this project done. If I get it done today, next week, next month, that's the job. And if I'm given a deadline and I get done early, that's I get to reap the reward, right?
And the retort I would have to that particular ticket text is that I would not want to do more work to be paid the same.
Right. Is it coming with a promotion? In some cases, yes. In some cases, I'm not promoting you.
Well, it's still okay to do more than asked.
At the end, it's work, John, right? Like, it's,
yeah,
you're being paid. You wouldn't be there if you weren't being paid to do it in many of these cases.
Yeah, and you're paid to do a good job.
And if you did a good job, you can rest on the work you've done, right?
And turn it in and then work on what's next.
Maybe this is where the scumbag's coming from. Heather, you were on the side,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, for sure. I agree with you. I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's just not what I would personally do.
Maybe Heather could take the extra time from not working to wash her damn feet. Dirty and lazy are not good qualities, Greg and Chelsea.
Well, I am anything but lazy. But yes, I have washed my feet. My feet, apparently to some, are dirty.
We've made a change in your life.
I have washed them, like really scrubbed them.
How'd the experience go?
You know, it was just fine. They got dirty after a concert one night, and
Did you think of the conversation that we've had as you're washing your feet? Like, I'm going to have to tell.
I did. I thought of, unfortunately, I did think about you guys while I was washing my feet. I did.
Texter says, turn in the work in late August. You'd still get a stress-free summer, and you would be turning in the work early, so you would get the brownie points as well, Abe in Southfield. Getting some nods from behind the glass. Greg approves.
I mean, yeah. I don't know why you always got to look for an angle. Just turn in your work.
Texter says it's because people are lazy. They only do what they have to do.
The bare minimum.
To the bare minimum because people are losers. Costa is not a scumbag, but he's more of a degenerate. Okay.
I love it.
Funny that John has an issue with people doing the bare minimum. He does that every day. Oh, that's not fair.
Oh, come on.
No, this guy brings it. Don't do that to John.
Come on.
Texter says, cats dig in a poop box and then walk on the counters. Yeah, no thanks. Not eating it at your house. Gross. Todd in Sterling Heights.
Yeah. And that's true. Those are the things that people don't think about. It kind of goes back to the whole sitting on the toilet, you know, type thing, where you're going to get the germs somewhere else. Like, cats... Seriously, they do that, and then they just walk around your house. They're trampling feces
too,
over
though.
Your house, and then you're stepping on those feces.
Well, dogs will sometimes take their butt and glide across your floor.
They're wiping
they
it.
Do
they're getting
all
a good
that
wipe.
Too. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they'll eat their poop sometimes, and then things.
Yeah, I had a previous dog that was looking for a hot meal all the time.
Uh-huh.
But we're living in these environments, and then you hear people freak out about touching a remote at a hotel, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, you realize the other things, your phone?
Oh, phones are disgusting.
They're gross. What's on these phones?
It's nasty.
So your cat walks on your couch and you set your phone on the couch and then you've got feces on your phone.
But nobody ever draws the line there, right?
Right. They don't think of the thing. They don't think it through.
Well, some people do. Ticket texter, I don't know if this is a true story or not. Apparently, Rico has said many times on air he will not eat at a house with cats.
Wow.
Hmm. You going to take him off the invite list?
I said he was on the invite list.
Well, I mean, if Mike's over, he's going to have to come with him, right?
Oh, stop.
Who's going to carry his bag?
Oh, don't do that.
Sorry,
and
Rico.
And the whole point of the topic in Dear John was the fact that that's okay. Don't get mad when I don't invite you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If that's going to be your opinion.
If you're not going to eat the food, it's a...
That's fine.
Yeah, we're not going
to... Took a shot at me on social media, so
you're
not invited.
Yeah.
You're off the invite list. No Christmas card for you.
Noted.
Sorry, holiday card.
Don't do this, John. The War on Christmas. Your thoughts, 248. No, we're going to talk hockey and basketball in the 9 o'clock hour because I think I figured out what Steve Yzerman's going to do. We've got some audio from some hockey insiders. Why is Yzerman clearing so much cap space? He already had a bunch. Why trade Walman? Why free up more? Tell you what that move is, or I think it is. After the update, we'll get to the Pistons pick, what they did at 5, my fear, all of it in the 9 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.